Well, when he got back to Syria, I'm sure the king asked him, hey, how did it go there in Israel? Did they cure you? And Naaman had a report. Oh, yeah, man, I went down there, and first, you know, I went to the king. He couldn't do it. He sent me over to the prophet. And the prophet sent a messenger out and told me to go down and dip. And I was offended. I said, I'm going back home. But then a couple of the guys talked to me, and he said, you know, hey, why don't you just do it? The prophet hasn't asked you to do much. Just dip in the Jordan. So I did. Hey, look at me. There's a prophet down there. This guy knows what to do. He has the power. There must be a powerful God in Israel. So he related to the king of Syria. And following that, then, we see in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, some lessons here from the situation of the axe. One day, I'm going to read this from the International Standard Version of the Bible. This is 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. One day, the guild of the prophets told Elisha, sons of the prophets, told Elisha, notice how the place where we are living is too small for us. You know, they had a compound. They had a place where they're teaching. We've outgrown this place. It's too small for us. Let's go to the Jordan River, fashion some rafters, and build a place for us so we can live there. Now notice, I want you to notice a couple of things here. First of all, who is making the suggestion? Some of the sons of the prophets. Elisha didn't make the suggestion. He didn't notice that the place was too small. They made the suggestion. Hey, you know, we got to have a bigger place. So Elisha says, go. And someone asked him, well, would you be willing to go with your servants? How about going with us? You know, you send us, but why won't you go with us? And so he said, yeah, I'm willing. He replies, I'm willing. So he accompanied them. And when they came to the Jordan River, they cut down some of the trees. You know, you can't expect, here's Elisha, he's the leader, okay, he's the one who's teaching the sons of the prophet. You can't expect the leader to think of everything, can you? You can't. So the people who come up with ideas, they help him. And they helped him, but he was willing to go. They didn't want, you know, he was willing to go with them. And it happened as one of them was felling a beam, his axe head fell into the water. And they were cutting down some of the trees, and he cried out, oh, no, master, the axe was on loan to me. I borrowed it from somebody, one of the citizens here, some of the, you'd say a church member. We bought it from one of the Israelites, and it was on loan to me. And the man of God asked, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, he cut off a branch. This is now Elijah. Elisha cuts off a branch, tossed it there, and made the iron axe head float. Then Elisha said, pick it up. So the young man reached out and picked it up. A very powerful miracle, but very small for a little incident like this. It was still a miracle. But what you have here is a little statement. Now, here's the question. How many miracles did Elisha do? This man was surrounded by miracles. How many miracles did he do? Try counting them. You can't count them. And I'll tell you why you can't count them if you'll just read the next section with me. You cannot find the number of miracles Elisha did. You can't find them because we have an obscure statement in the next passages of 2 Kings. And we're going to start there. And I'm going to read this passage because here, among all the miracles were the war miracles. There are probably more miracles that Elisha did in conjunction with the Armenians or the Aram, the Assyrians, it's translated in other translations, more miracles about that than about anything else. But we don't know how many miracles total, because let us read the passages, and I'll read from the International Standard Version, beginning in verse 8. And you would think this is crazy too, okay? Eventually, after Naaman goes back, eventually, says the International Standard Version, the king of Aram went to war against Israel. taking counsel with his advisors and concluding, in such and such a place, I'll build my encampment. Let's go. Here's the strategic place where we will attack. Here's where we will marshal all our troops. Here's where we will get our people there. Okay, that's where we're going to go. That's where we will attack. And when they come by, we will go after them. We will take out their army. We will destroy them, and so on and so on. So he was going. Now, it's kind of funny. You would say, well, man, you just heard not very long ago from Naaman, your captain, that there's a prophet in Israel who does miraculous things. Why would you go ahead and try to attack them? But he's going to go it. He's going to do it. But now listen to verse 9. So the man of God sent a messenger to the king of Israel, warning him, keep an eye on that area. Watch out for that area, because the Syrians, the Armenians, are going to be there. Christ-like powers were given to Elisha. He could hear. He could see. You remember what he said to Gehazi when he read? I saw you going down. Where were you? He said, well, I haven't been anywhere. Oh, don't tell me that. I saw you. Christ-like powers were given to this prophet. The most amazing powers of miraculous powers of anybody except Jesus Christ himself. Remember, Jesus could read their thoughts. Jesus could say, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're thinking. He said it to the Pharisees. He said it to his disciples. Here is Elisha. Listen to verse 9. So the man of God sent a message to the king of Israel, warning him, stay away from that area because they're there. Verse 10, the king of Israel confirmed the matter. He would send out a spy. Oh, yeah, they are there. They are there. About which the man of God had warned him. Having been forewarned then, he was able to protect himself there on, listen to this phrase, verse 10, on more than one or two occasions. The Bible says on more than one or two occasions, more than once or twice, says the New American Standard Version. More than once or twice. So more than one means it could be two, but more than two means it has to be three or more, right? And so what you're saying, when you say more than once or twice, you mean on a number of occasions, Elisha had a miraculous seeing, understanding, and knowing what this king of Syria was going to do, where he was putting his troops, where he was going to attack, and would warn. Now, let me ask you. Here's the prophet. He's in Samaria. That's where he lived. They traveled all around. Samaria had left. You had the kingdom of Judah south. You had the king of Israel. You know, the whole nation had split after Solomon's time. In the time of Rehoboam, it had split. So you have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. But he lived up there in the northern kingdom. Did all kinds of things. He certainly respected the kings of the southern kingdom. He loved Jehoshaphat and so on. But here's Jehoram, still King Ahab's son. Ahab's son is still running. But he's still running Samaria and northern kingdom. He has still got the Baals all out, all over the place. They're worshiping pagan symbols. It's all over the place. Yet Elisha is right there. Now, you see, the people of Samaria are very easy and willing to go and worship the Baal, worship Baalism, still going. He would talk to them about Yahweh and the kingdom, the gods, God's ways, and the days of the kind of true worship. Yet they were still going Baalism. What would you do if you were a prophet? And you know, here's the king of Syria. He's going to attack. He's going to attack the northern kingdom. I know what some of you would do. You say, you know what? They deserve to be conquered. I'm not going to tell them nothing. You know, they don't want to worship the true God, and God has given me these powers. I'm just going to let the king of Syria come in and kill them. Why not? But he was loyal to those people. He did not want them to do that. He did not want the destruction of life. So he said, no, avoid this area. And so the king of Syria, of Israel, escaped out of this hand on more than one or two occasions, having been forewarned. Verse 11, the king of Syria flew into a rage. He said, somebody is leaking, high confidence, high priority stuff. Somebody, this is top secret information, and somebody's leaking it to the king of Syria, king of Israel. So the king of Syria is very, very upset. He flew into a rage, verse 11. So he called his advisors and asked them, will you please tell me which one of us has joined the king of Israel? Which one of you, is a spy for the king of Israel? But verse 12, somebody knew. And verse 12 says, no, your majesty, one of the servants said, it's Elisha the prophet who lives in Israel. He tells the king of Israel what you talk about in your bedroom. In the most secreted places of your conversations, this Elisha the prophet has these powers to know what you are saying. These are Christ-like powers. I don't know of any prophet anywhere else that had such powers. I don't know of anybody other than Jesus Christ. I don't even think Paul did this, demonstrated that kind of thing. I don't think Peter demonstrated that. I could read people's minds far away. And here's Elisha. He knows, and they're saying, this guy knows what we're talking about. This guy's got it all. This is the one who's warning. This is the one who's telling what our plans are. What can we do about it? And he's done it on more than one occasion. That's why you can never count the number of miracles that Elisha has done. And every one of these was a miracle. Well, the king of Israel, the king of Aram, the king of Syria, then gets furious. Verse 13, the king ordered, well, go and discover where he is so that I may send men to take him into custody. I'm going to go after him. We're going to go get this guy. And when we get him, then he can't, the only way to stop him, if he can read, my mind, if he can hear our conversations, the only way to stop him, we take him into custody, he can't get back to the king of Israel. Aha, we'll stop him. We can't stop him from reading our mind, but we can stop him from getting the message to the king of Israel. We'll put an end to it. Okay? So, somebody said, he's over at Dothan, he's over at Dothan. He traveled around, so he's over at Dothan. So the king of Aram sent, listen to what he sends. You talk about a compliment. And here's this, Elisha, he's got to be older now. Time is gone. Elijah has been gone for quite a while, and he's done all kinds of things. And he's middle-aged or whatever. Just one guy, But listen to what he does. The king of Aram sent, verse 14, horses. Men on horses. He didn't just send horses. I'm going to send you a bunch of horses. What are they going to do? He means horsemen, men on horses. So you've got your cavalry. You've got your chariots. You've got an elite force of walking, of infantry men. And they arrive during the night at Dothan. Okay, they surround the city. They come during the night. They surrounded the city. Now, number one, you'd think, well, now, after I heard from Naaman probably told him, I even offered the guy some cash. I told him, but he refused it. Later on, his servants told me that he needed it, but he refused it when I offered it to him. He wouldn't even take a dime for all that he did for me and the miracle that happened. He wouldn't take anything. And you would think the king of Syria would say, well, this guy's got some unusual power. God is with him. If he's the man of God, they call him the man of God. But no, we're going to take him. But we're not taking any chances with his powers. We're going to send a lot of troops. We're going to capture this guy. Now, early in the morning, meanwhile, the attendant, one of the servants of the man of God, got up early in the morning. He went outside. And, oh, my, he looks. There are soldiers. There are chariots. There are the elite forces. There are the, all these, you know, they've got, we're surrounded. The whole city is surrounded. Well, he comes running back, you know. He's you know, sees all these, he sees all these horses, these chariots. So Elisha's attendant cried out, oh, no, master. What will we do? They're worse. The whole city is surrounded. What are we going to do? And Elisha replied in verse 16, stop being afraid, because there are more with us than there are with them. There are more with us than there are with them. And then Elisha did something. He prayed, asking the Eternal, asking Yahweh, please make him able to really see. Make him able. You know, isn't that our prayer? Don't we pray for people? We pray that people will be really able to see the truth about the Sabbath, the truth about God, the truth about Jesus Christ, the truth about Jesus' sacrifice for their sins, the truth about conversion. Don't we pray that people's eyes will be able to see the truth, to see God, to have a vision of who God is? Don't we pray for that? Absolutely. So Elisha prayed. He said, stop being afraid. But he said, please, make him able to really see. Make him able to really see. And so when the Eternal enabled the young man to see, now it's not evidently Gehazi. He doesn't use the word Gehazi. This is a young guy, another attendant. Gehazi had, what did he have? He had leprosy. You remember, he inherited Naaman's leprosy. He was able to see. He looked. And there was the mountain filled with horses and fiery chariots, not surrounding the city, surrounding Elisha. Not, let's see, read that verse, okay? Read verse 17. And he prayed, he looked, there was the mountain full of horses and chariots all around Elisha. So when he looks at Elisha, here's like a mountain. He sees this spiritual vision, all these angels, all these chariots. These are the spiritual horses. These are the forces of God. These are the forces, the host of heaven. These are the hosts of you know, that's why they call God the Lord of hosts. He's the host of a lot of things. He's the host of the armies. He's the host of this. He sees all these chariots. Oh my, they're surrounding you. They're going to protect you. They're going to conquer. He has nothing. So Elisha, you know, well, why are you afraid? Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And what does he do? Verse 18. When the army approached him then, Elisha spoke to the Eternal, asking him, Eternal, Yahweh, I am asking you, please, to afflict this group of people. Afflict all these soldiers, these horsemen, these chariot drivers and all that. Afflict them with blindness. So on one hand, he asks that God will open the eyes of his servant. On the other hand, what does he do for the enemy? Afflict them with blindness. They can't see. They can't see anything. They can't see reality now. So God afflicted them with blindness, just as Elisha had asked. Then Elisha told the army, now they're all blind. They don't know where are we? Where is this place? And Elisha goes up and he says, this isn't the way. Now, hey, you know, you're in the wrong spot, fellas. This isn't the right place. This isn't the right city. Follow me. I'll take you to the right place. I'll bring you to the man you're seeking. So then he led them to Samaria, right to the capital, right where Jehoram had the most forces. Where do you think any... Go to Washington, D.C. and see how much power and military and police and all that is there. You go to the capital of the country and you'll see how much power of soldiers and armed forces are right there. Okay? So he takes him to Samaria. When they arrived at Samaria, Elisha asked the Eternal, let them see again, enable them to see again. So the Eternal did so. And there they were, right in the middle of Samaria. Here are all these soldiers now. Oh no, we're here, we're captured. We're right in the middle of the capital of our enemy. So when the king of Israel comes out, wow, boy, look, we got this whole army, all these chariots, all these horsemen, all these people right here in the middle of our city. This is easy pickings. And so what does he say to Elisha? He calls him father here. And after that, in the New Testament, Jesus said, call no man your father. But he says, when king of Israel saw Elisha, he said, shall I execute them, my father? You got them here. We've captured them. Should we just kill them all? What kind of person was Elisha? He was in Samaria. The pagan Baalism was going on. He could have let the king of Syria punish them time and again and kill them, but he didn't. He warned them. I don't want people killed. I don't want people destroyed. I don't want people hurt. And now, this time, the king of Israel said, we've got them here. Should we just kill them all? And what does he say? No. No, you're not to kill them. Would you execute those whom you have taken captive as at the point of a sword or with the bow? Would you kill them? Give them, listen to him, go the other side. Give them food and water so they can eat and drink. Then send them back to their master. Boy. You mean we've captured this army of Syria. They want to kill us. They've come in here to hurt you, and you got them here, and you want us to feed them with food, with water, and let them go back home? What are you? Are you crazy? You know, in the New Testament, we have this statement in the book of Romans. If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in doing so, you will be piling coals of fire upon his head, in a sense. You're actually destroying him in a certain way. So here's Elisha. So they gave them food and water. He prepared a large festival for them, and when they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them back to their master, back to the king of Syria. Now you think, you're the king of Syria. Here come your troops. Hey, did you catch that prophet? Did you get him? Let me tell you something. We didn't touch him. But we were all in Samaria. Next thing we knew, we didn't know where we were. We were in Samaria, and they could have killed us, but they gave us a meal, fed us, and let us go. Let us go. Now, you know, when you say you're going to let somebody go, you know what that means? That means I'm not afraid of you. I'm going to send you back. I am so not afraid of you that I'm going to send you back to your master. I have so much power here, we're not going to be afraid of you. So guess what this says? Here's the rest of this story. See what? So he prepared a great feast for them, verse 23. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. And when they had eaten and drank, he sent them away. He went and sent them away. And they went back to their master. And listen to the last part of verse 23. And the marauding bands of the Armenians did not come again into the land of Israel. We're never going to go there. We're never going to go there. They are not afraid. In fact, they didn't even care if they destroyed our army. They sent the army back. They've got so much power. I am telling you, we cannot do anything with that nation. Leave them alone. They never went back. How many miracles did Elisha do? We couldn't even count them. No one knows. But what we do know is that he had Christ-like powers, and he had Christ-like attitude toward all people. He did not want to hurt them, either in Samaria or in Syria. That's the story of Elisha the prophet.